As I mentioned last week, we're coming to the closing section of Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount. And one of the things we find him doing in this closing part is it's as if he's drawing a line in the sand. And he's telling people, hey, you're either on one side or the other. Right? You're either on this narrow path that leads to eternal life, that leads to heaven, or you're on this broad path, this highway to hell. You're either bearing good fruit or bad fruit. You either have a true profession of faith or a false profession. And either your life is being built upon this word of God or it's built on sinking sand. It's built on something else. Well, today we're going to look at what Jesus had to say about good fruit and bad fruit, and specifically in the area of being a prophet of God or being someone who would be God's mouthpiece, someone who would, quote, speak for God. On God's behalf. We find this in Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20. And here Jesus says this, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." Jesus here gives a word of warning to his disciples, those who are listening. Again, he says, "Watch out or beware of these false prophets." When we think about false prophets and the fruit that they bear, we'll look at a couple areas of bad fruit concerning the false prophet, and that is in the areas of their speech and their conduct. So let's, number one, look at their speech. As you go back and you look at the history of Israel and you find many prophets that were around in their day, what made a false prophet was often what came out of their mouths, right? What they had to say. They were speaking their own thoughts, their own imaginations, and not the words of God. And we see how God took that so very seriously, didn't he? Because in his law, in the book of Deuteronomy, we would find this. If someone speaks in the name of the Lord, if they prophesy, if they say, hey, this is what God says, and that particular thing does not come to pass, the penalty for that would be death. In other words, you don't just say, hey, God told me this or God spoke this and it's not from God. That's very serious in the eyes of God, to be a false prophet of God. And Jesus here wants the disciples to know, hey, beware of men who speak falsely in the name of the Lord. We find these words in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, as he had to deal with false prophet, Jeremiah was a true prophet of God, but we find him saying this as the Lord speaks through the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 23, verses 16 through 21. He says, "This is what the Lord Almighty says. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, 'The Lord says you will have peace.' And to all who follow the stubbornness of their hearts, they say, 'No harm, no harm will come to you.' But which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see or to hear his word? Who has listened and heard his word? See, the storm of the Lord will burst out in wrath, a whirlwind swirling down on the heads of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he fully accomplishes the purposes of his heart. In days to come, you will understand it clearly. I did not send these prophets, yet they have run with their message. I did not speak to them, yet they have prophesied." If you've read through the book of Jeremiah, and even if you haven't, I'd continue to move forward even after these verses in chapter 23. And what you find is that the prophet Jeremiah will speak words to the people of Israel. And he'll say this, hey, you're going to spend 70 years in exile. For 70 years, you'll be living in Babylon, and you'll be under the reign of the king of Babylon. And people didn't take to those words too well. They wanted to actually kill Jeremiah after that message. And what we find as you continue to read in the book of Jeremiah, there'll be another man come along named Hananiah. He's a false prophet. But he'll tell the people this, hey, within 2 years, you're going to be let out of Babylon. Just 2 years, and then God's going to break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Let me ask you this. If you were an Israelite back in that day, which message would you rather hear? 70 years in exile or 2 years in exile? The two sounds much better, right? And yet God's true prophet was saying 70 years. We find that God would actually bring death to that false prophet, Hananiah. And Jeremiah would echo those words again to the people. Hey, it's going to be 70 years that you're in exile in Babylon. And then we find those famous words that everyone loves, right? Even today, it's on plaques and bumper stickers and banners and t-shirts. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, right? Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. And the context of that is, after 70 years of being in exile, that God is going to do that for his people, Israel. So Jeremiah was a true prophet. Why? Because he did exactly what the false prophets didn't do. He stood in the counsel of the Lord. He sought the Lord. He heard the word of the Lord, not his own thoughts, not his own imaginations, but the word of the Lord. He was guided and propelled by the Holy Spirit of God. We find the Apostle Peter defining what a true prophet is as well in his letter. Let's look at that in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. He says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but rather men like Jeremiah spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So number one, a prophet can be a false prophet because of what they say, because they speak their own words from their own heart rather than from the heart and the mind of God. And so we need to beware of that. Well, number two is beware of their conduct. This really seems to be what Jesus is emphasizing in our passage today, where he talks about bad fruit. In other words, he's basically saying, hey, look at their lives. Look at their conduct. What do you see in these prophets? Is there selfishness? Is there greed? What do you find when you look at these prophets? What do you find in their life? Again, Jesus would say in our passage, they will be recognized by their fruit. A good tree only does good fruit and a bad tree only does bad fruit, right? You're going to recognize them by their fruit. It's interesting that Jesus would actually accuse many of the religious leaders in his day of things like greed and hypocrisy and self-indulgence. He condemned them for that. And they may have looked really good on the outside. They may have dressed the part all neat and tidy, this air of righteousness about them. But Jesus said, when you get to the core of who they are, when you get to the inner man, you'll find self-interest. You'll find self-indulgence, selfishness and greed and all these things that were coming out of these religious leaders. Once again, as we look back upon the history of Israel, and we look at the conduct of the false prophets, we find their conduct was bad as well. Let's look at one example. In the days of Ezekiel, Ezekiel speaks about false teachers or false shepherds, really, is how he describes them. Those who were called to teach the people of God and care for their souls. In Ezekiel 34, 1 through 4, we find this. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. And so here God is speaking to Ezekiel, giving that example of an actual literal shepherd who would care for sheep. But he brings it to a spiritual application of those spiritual shepherds, those spiritual leaders of Israel, who were only concerned with themselves and not the sheep. And so God had to rebuke them. And so too, Jesus is warning his disciples and all those who are listening to be careful, to be on guard against those who may talk a good game. They may appear to be, quote, shepherds. They may say that they're speaking the words of God. They may even quote some scripture, but be careful, because inside their motives are corrupt. They're only in it for themselves. We find the Apostle Paul warn young Timothy as well, who was going to be a shepherd and who would care for his flock. And he would say, hey, Timothy, be careful, because there's men out there who are, like Jesus said, sheep in wolf's clothing. And they have this form of godliness, but they actually deny its power by the life that they live. He would go on to say this, that they actually worm their way into the homes of weak-willed women and take advantage of them. Likely he's referring there to widows who are unable to really, they would be taken advantage of. I guess that's a good way to say it. They would take advantage of these poor widows. And again, Jesus says this is what was happening to the religious leaders in his day as well. Let's look at Mark 12, where Jesus points this out in verses 38 to 40. As he taught, Jesus said, watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely. Again, the devouring of widows' houses there is this idea of taking advantage of the weak, of really looking out for their own self-interest rather than the interests of others. Well, not only would these be important words for the disciples as they heard these words, but these are words that are important for us today as well. Now, certainly we live in a much different time frame than the disciples, a much different culture. Think of all the things that are different in our day. The disciples didn't walk around with phones in their pockets, right? Where all this information was at their fingertips. I think of all the, quote, prophets we may find on YouTube today, all those who claim to speak for God that are out there, a little different time frame. But there's so much that we can apply to our lives as well today. And I want to give you three things to consider and think about and apply to your own life today when it comes to the false prophets of our day. Number one is this. Beware of subtlety. Beware of subtlety. To be subtle is to be clever, to be crafty, to be a little bit indirect, if you will. And I'm reminded of what Paul once told the Corinthians. He said, beware of false apostles, because they masquerade as servants of righteousness. And no wonder, because Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. I mean, there's these guys that just come glowing and bright. They seem like they're doing the right thing. They have these positive vibes. But they're masquerading, just like the devil loves to masquerade as well. They're filled with deception as well. And again, Jesus speaks of this kind of masquerading, this deception, And he gives this kind of interesting image, doesn't he, of a wolf. If you imagine a wolf that's dressed up in sheep's clothing, all this wool that he has on, but yet his eyeballs, they're the wolf eyeballs, but everything you see is a sheep. It looks like a sheep, but inside that's a wolf. That's a real wolf that's playing the part. Now, I've never had an encounter with a wolf. Has anybody ever had an encounter with a wolf? Maybe you've shot a wolf. I don't know. I've got a friend that's shot a wolf before. But had an encounter with a junkyard dog before, but not a wolf. But as you know, wolves are known for taking down certain animals that are much larger than they are. Like a deer, an elk, and even a moose. A wolf can take these animals down and devour them, eat their flesh. This is the image that Jesus gives for the false prophet. These men look harmless. They may even look meek and mild. And maybe even with a nice big smile. They're always smiling. Like that preacher in Houston. No, he's always smiling, right? And yet inside we find corruption, we find greed, we find self-indulgence. And often these false prophets have a mild message as well. They may share some truth, but notice what they don't share. They may share a lot of positive things, but often they don't share the important things. Much like Hananiah, who came along and said, hey, just 2 years, right? It's not that bad. You know, it's really not that bad. It's okay. And so many false prophets of our day or false teachers of our day will give this very watered down kind of message. And many will fail to speak that little three-letter word, S-I-N, sin. You'll hardly ever hear them say the word sin. They'll puff people up. They'll read some proverbs about how you can have a good life, a prosperous life. They'll tell you how you need to look in the mirror and speak words of affirmation over yourself. Tell you that self that you're wonderful and you're talented and you're all this. But very rarely will they tell you this. You also need to look in the mirror and say this. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I'm a wretch who needs God's amazing grace in my life. Because that is central to the gospel message, is it not? That we're sinners in need of a Savior, that Christ, the reason he came was to deal with our sin. Not just to simply make us better people and to make us enjoy a better life on the earth, but to deal with our sin, our sins that we've committed against a holy, perfect God. Our sins that need to be covered by his precious blood. This is the essence of the gospel, is it not? That Christ died for sinners. And as Paul's attitude was, of whom I'm the worst. He didn't say, I'm the best. He said, I'm the worst. And I need God's grace in my life. And if people fail to see their need of a Savior and their own sin, there's nothing to be saved from, right? It's just a good person becoming better. And that's what false prophets often come and proclaim to this world. And sadly, in Christian churches who have the name of Christ on their sign, but yet the gospel is, it's void of the gospel message. They often skirt around the true gospel. Again, they may give you practical advice of life, but the gospel is often missing. Beware of the crafty, clever prophets and teachers of our day that only speak what itching ears want to hear. Beware of subtlety. Beware of deception. Look at their fruit. Look at their lives. And this leads us to point number two. Often connected with this subtlety is greed. Beware of greed. And some people may say, well, what's so bad about, say, a pastor being filthy rich? Or some TV evangelist being filthy rich. What's so bad about that? I mean, if a CEO of a big company can have $1 million salary, what's wrong with a pastor of a megachurch? He's over thousands of people. What's wrong with him having $1 million salary? I mean, after all, The pastor's dealing with something very valuable. He's dealing with the Word of God. The CEO, he's just dealing with Coke or Pepsi, right? Some soft drink. I mean, certainly he's worth more, is he not? This is the argument that's often presented when we see pastors living these extravagant, over-the-top kind of lifestyles. Well, how do we respond to that? Well, number one is, yes, it's true, as Scripture says, a worker is worthy of his wages. Don't muzzle the ox while he's treading out the grain. Provide for the needs of someone who's sharing the gospel or preaching the gospel. It's nothing wrong with earning a living from preaching the gospel. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians. However, if the gospel is being used like Coke or Pepsi to gain this big profit, then that's where the issue is. As Paul would say, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. We don't treat it like Coke or Pepsi. And if God should bless, say, a church and they become wealthy, you could say, with lots of funds, well, then where should the funds go? It's okay to feed your pastor, by the way. And you guys, by the way, do a great job of that. Let me just get that out there. But for me to live this extravagant lifestyle, rather than take those funds and reinvest in the kingdom of God, that's what needs to happen. And there always needs to be this balance, right, of making sure we're setting our hearts and minds on those things that are eternal. As Jesus said, don't store up treasures here on earth, but rather store them up in heaven. And so too with any particular church. They need to look at their finances and say, are we storing up treasure in heaven, or is it all here on this earth? That's what they need to evaluate. And each church will be responsible for that before God. Not sure if you caught it, but recently, about a week ago, there was a story that hit the news of a church in Tampa, Florida. I'll put church in quotation marks. But sadly, it's a story of a church. It was called a Kingdom of God Global Church. That was the name of the church. And not sure if you've caught the story, but there was the man there who was the head of the church was named David Taylor. He went by Apostle David Taylor. Won't get into all the details, but you can Google it, look it up, read the story, listen to the story online. But it's such a sad, sad story. As so many people were being taken advantage of. And he made Ezekiel 34, that those false shepherds look like wonderful shepherds. Incredible abuse, incredible selfishness and greed, all in the quote name of Christ. But this man, his soul was wolfish. He didn't care if he devoured people and ruined their lives. He was driven by greed. And so when it comes to discerning between a true prophet and a false prophet, when we find those that are pursuing great riches, beware of witches too, by the way, or those who think that godliness is a means to financial gain, Scripture says that's a big no-no. Avoid those people. Run from those shepherds. Run from those prophets. And finally, number three, when we think about this topic of false prophets, we need to make sure that we individually, as a church family too, we spend time in the Word of God. That we're in the Word. Paul writes these familiar words to Timothy. Let's look at that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14 through 17. Paul says, "But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known what the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Though Timothy was a pastor/teacher, These words certainly apply to our lives today as well, don't they? We need to see Scripture as inspired by God, as breathed out by God, as profitable for us for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And I cannot stress to you enough the importance of you spending time in the Word each and every day. That this becomes the basis for which you judge all things in life. That when you see things out there, when you hear things, your favorite YouTube preacher, whatever it might be, when you hear things, that you always ask this question, well, where is that in the Bible? Can I find that in the Bible? Is this some man's own thoughts and opinions, or is this based upon Scripture? Is Scripture the foundation for what I believe? And that is why it's so important to fill up your mind each day and your heart each day with the Word of God, so that you'll know when people twist the Scriptures. Did you know that false prophets will share Scripture? But do you know who else shared Scripture? Satan did, didn't he? He gave Scripture to Jesus in his time of temptation. And you know the Word. Hey, just believe that. Twisting it, taking it out of context. And false teachers do a great job of that in our day as well. And the only way we can guard against that is to fill our minds and hearts continually with the Word of God, to make sure things are taught in context. Can't stress that enough. And even as I preach, even as I teach each week, that you would say, hey, is this really what is need to be said here? Is this true? Be like the Bereans of old, right, in the book of Acts. What did they do? When Paul taught to them, they went back to the Scriptures and say, hey, is this true or not? You need to do the same when I preach, or whoever, Carl will be up here next week teaching. You give him a run. No, just kidding. You test his words by what he says, by the Scriptures as well. And as we seek to be people who are grounded in the Word, let me just give you one word of caution. And that is this: be careful, beware of being hypercritical. What do I mean? I mean, sometimes we can be so cautious of a false teaching that we may go too far in some cases. And you find this in our day. If you watch YouTube at all, you may find that there's certain people who have what's called discernment ministries, right? And they'll point things out that are off. And there's a need for that. And so you can find out about this man, David Taylor, and all the ins and outs of him and how off he was. They're going to share that with you. And it's good to know those things. However, sometimes those who are in discernment ministries can be hypercritical. In other words, because they're always looking for something wrong in people, they may start to focus on that more than they should. So there may be people that they'll label as false prophets, or say, hey, that guy, he's a sheep in wolf's clothing. When actually he may in fact be their brother in Christ. But they don't agree with one thing he said. So they throw him out. Be careful of those kinds of individuals who go too far in discernment, in their discernment ministries. Certainly you can swing the pendulum too far and not have any boundaries, but make sure you weigh everything against this, against the Word of God. Make sure you devote yourself to personal reading of the Word of God on your own. And you ask the Spirit of God to help you understand the things that you read. The Holy Spirit is the best teacher of all. He far out teaches any human on this earth. So ask the Holy Spirit to help you grasp and understand the truths of God with a humble heart. And he will do that for you. If you're honest and you're willing to change, God will show you those things that need to be shown. Well, as we close today, let me remind you again of what Jesus said. Beware of false prophets. And again, you will recognize them by their fruit. But even more important than recognizing false prophets. You see, you can recognize false prophets and be on your way to hell. You can recognize false prophets, point them out, but not have a relationship with Christ. And so the most important thing you need to do today, even more than being aware of false prophets, is to believe. It's to believe in the prophet with a capital P, the prophet of all prophets, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this earth to die for sinners like me and sinners like you. Why? To pay the price. We have a debt of sin that we owe to a holy God. We've sinned against a holy God. We've broken his commandments. And because of that, we're guilty. We stand condemned. And when we don't believe in Jesus, we continue to stand condemned according to Scripture. And the way we can escape the condemnation of God is to put our faith in Jesus Christ, to believe that he bore the wrath of God for me. He died in my place. He rose again on the third day. He ascended to heaven. He reigns and rules as King and Lord and God right now, and someday he's coming again. And I believe in you, Jesus. Forgive me for what I've done. Cleanse me. Make me whole. Make me your child. And when you pray that, and when you do that, God will answer that, and he will come into your life and make you a new creation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the words of Christ today. And Father, help us to beware of those who are false prophets, those who may have a very sweet-sounding message, may tickle our ears and say, man, that sounds good. Lord, help us to see beneath the surface, to see when there's self-indulgence and when there's greed involved and when there's deception. And Lord, help us to, above all else, to build our lives upon Scripture, upon the Word of God, to build our lives upon the rock of applying the Word of God to our lives each and every day. And Lord, forgive us when we go too far sometimes and cast people away. We cut off arms and legs of the body of Christ because maybe we don't agree with one or two things they said that have nothing to do with salvation. Father, help us to be like Jesus in all things, and we pray this in his name. Amen.